Good morning, everyone. Glad to have you all here. We'll go ahead and get this started. It looks like it's exactly 9 o'clock. My phone says 9:01. I don't know. We're going to go ahead and open it up with public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the Housing Commission obviously must fill out a speaker request form. You'll be limited to 3 minutes each, and collective testimony by those who support or oppose an item will be limited to no more than 15 minutes per side. Non-agenda public comments will be heard at the beginning of this meeting, and those who wish to address the board about a topic that is not on the agenda must fill out a white speaker slip form. Members of the public may also request to have an item pulled from the consent agenda by submitting a speaker request form prior to the start of the meeting, and to speak on a matter on the agenda, members of the public must complete a speaker request form and submit it to the recording secretary before the item is called. Those who wish to speak in opposition to an item must complete the pink-colored form, and those in favor of an item complete the gold-colored form. So with that, we do have one non-agenda public comment. Father John Author, you have 3 minutes.
To send you a letter. I want to amend that letter at least a little bit with some of the things. First, with an item to show. This is the area that I'm talking about. It's this little orange area. This is the entire city of San Diego, except like Rancho Penasquitos and other areas that don't even fit on this. So this area is less than 1% of the square miles of San Diego. There are 370 square miles. This is maybe a quarter to a half square mile. It is super saturated with homeless services, as you know from the letter. I'd like to add a couple more points that I didn't, not points, but there are 200 more bins than I realized. I put 700. There are 900 in that area. Supposedly there are close to 800 to 1,000 homeless people. Why so many bins? I do not know. I also, from your website, drew the Paul Mirabile Center, which holds 350 homeless, cots for the people or beds. So in that area, there are over 800, as far as I can tell, homeless there in just that small little area. Now, of those facilities, if we can imagine, four facilities because of hepatitis A were put forward by this particular group. The storage facility, to your credit, was advanced to the city council without an approval. You reversed that last meeting by ratifying its renewal. But of those four facilities, three of them ended up in this particular area. So instead of reversing historic injustice for this particular area, you increased it. You doubled the number of street homeless places that you're paying for, or at least administering, you doubled that because of the hepatitis A. In contrast, up in La Jolla, a little Catholic church was giving meals to homeless people just twice a month. And the town council there came down on them because of hepatitis A, and they closed them down. Meanwhile, what the Housing Commission and the city does is they come to our area and increase the number of homeless services for our area. It's simply unjust. I think I'll basically just one more point. The Women and Children's Shelter is now going to be moved to 17th and Imperial. They've had a year to try to find a place for that. 7th and Imperial, if you ever drive past there, it's one of the worst possible areas. If it was your sister or your kids who had to live in that, you would not allow that. The city has no real desire to put places anywhere but there. And the same thing with this storage facility. They've had over a year to find storage facilities, small places anywhere in the city. They have all of this area, and the only places they can come up with is in an area that is super saturated with homeless. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. And we did receive your letter. Each commissioner has received it. I know I've had an opportunity to review it. I appreciate you taking the time to do that. And at the direction or suggestion of Commissioner Hester, I believe we'll be setting up a visit for commissioners who have not been able to go see the storage facility. And perhaps there'll be an opportunity to meet with you after that.
Madam Chair, I know that we don't take action following public testimony, but I would recommend that the letter from Father Author be forwarded to the mayor's office and city council offices as well.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay. Commissioner comments. They don't all have to be reflective of public testimony, so you're welcome to provide any other feedback you may have now. Okay. Next up, we have a report by President and CEO Jeff Davis will be sitting in.
Okay, good morning. To begin with, I wanted to let you all know that Rick Gentry, our CEO, is doing very well in his recovery and from his surgery. And I am certain he's listening in to us right now. So, hi, Rick. We expect him to be sitting here where I'm at for the next board meeting here in April. So I do have a few items I'd like to share with you this morning. First, the Housing Commission has been in the news a few times this last few days. One of the top news stories on the San Diego Union-Tribune's website last night and this morning was about a Housing Commission presentation about efforts underway to develop two pilot programs to produce companion units in the city of San Diego. We presented information about the pilot programs on Wednesday to the City Council's Land Use and Housing Committee at the request of Councilmember Vivian Moreno, chair of that committee. 10 News also broadcast a story on Wednesday about the Housing Commission presentation, which discussed one pilot program that would evaluate the feasibility of providing loans to homeowners interested in building companion units on their properties. The second pilot program would focus on building companion units on single-family properties that the Housing Commission owns. Our goal at this point is to begin construction in the development pilot program by the end of the first half of fiscal year 2020, and to begin implementation of the finance pilot program by the end of the second half of fiscal year 2020. Councilmember Moreno also asked the Housing Commission to present to the committee about the more than 11,400 affordable housing units that the agency has helped to produce since 2008. With that presentation, we also shared with the committee a handout that Chair Benvenuto and Vice Chair Kumpner had requested, which has been provided to you this morning and is before you. This handout shows the status of Housing Commission partnership affordable rental housing developments that currently are under construction or have been approved by this board. The purpose of the dashboard is to track the ongoing progress of projects like these from board approval all the way through construction and completion. We will be continually updating this dashboard and providing current information to you each board meeting. Yesterday, we received some media coverage of good news about our Housing Commission Achievement Academy. One of the Achievement Academy achievers, Siobhan, and our Senior Vice President of Rental Assistance, Azucena Valladolid, appeared on KUSI Morning News. KUSI spoke to them about Siobhan's experience with the Achievement Academy and the programs it provides, including family self-sufficiency. With help from the Achievement Academy, Siobhan earned a family child care home license and started her own child care business. She has gone on to obtain an associate's, bachelor's, and master's degrees, and she now owns her own home. She often comes back to the Achievement Academy to speak with and encourage others who are currently participating in its programs. A profile of Siobhan was included in our fiscal year 2018 annual report, which of course is on our website. Siobhan's story is just one story that reflects the great work of our Rental Assistance Division and in particular their staff at the Achievement Academy. Last week, the Housing Commission received a national award, the 2018 NMA Development Award from Nan McKay & Associates, an affordable housing industry organization. This award recognizes outstanding achievement through our Homelessness Action Plan, Housing First, San Diego, specifically in the area of developing permanent supportive housing led by our real estate division. Since the initial launch of Housing First San Diego back in November 2014, the Housing Commission has invested development funds or purchased properties to create more than 700 new permanent supportive housing units. This includes developments that are under construction, like the Beacon Apartments just down the street across from City College, that will provide 43 units, as well as completed projects like our award-winning rehabilitation of the Hotel Churchill that created 72 permanent supportive housing units. Developments like these are just one part of the Housing Commission's Housing First San Diego program, and that has created in just less than 5 years 6,000 housing opportunities for the homeless. It's an agency-wide effort, and everyone at the Housing Commission should be proud of that accomplishment. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development's Secretary Dr. Ben Carson visited San Diego 2 weeks ago. The secretary spoke at the National Alliance to End Homelessness conference and toured the city of San Diego's temporary bridge shelter operated by the Alpha Project. As you know, the Housing Commission developed the bridge shelter program, funds its operations along with the two other temporary bridge shelters, and administers the contracts for the operations of the shelters on behalf of the city of San Diego. At the conclusion of the tour, Secretary Carson said the temporary bridge shelter could be a model for the rest of the nation. Our Homeless Housing Innovations Division does a great job overseeing that program. And finally this morning, I'm pleased to recognize the Housing Commission employees who received awards of excellence at our all-employee meeting a week ago. Chairman Benvenuto, would you please step out front so we can have your photo taken with our deserving employees as they come forward? Each year, we ask Housing Commission staff to nominate their colleagues for recognition, and our senior leadership team selects awards of excellent recipients from those nominees. To help recognize the great amount of excellent work that is happening throughout the agency, this year we decided to expand the number of awards, individual awards, from 3 to 5. So 5 employees received individual awards of excellence this year, and then we had 1 team award chosen. And then finally, we have our CEO award to complete our program. So as I introduce each award recipient, I'll ask them to come forward and be recognized by our board. The first individual award of excellent recipient is Barbara Chevalier. I tried too hard. Barbara is with our Homeless Housing Innovations Division. The nominations she received cited her skill at leading by example and her high work standards. With a collaborative, respectful approach and strong communication skills, Barbara provides excellent customer service. She has quickly become a subject matter expert on the new homeless management information systems, and that system is essential to the agency's efforts to address homelessness in the city. Congratulations, Barbara. Our next award recipient is Victor Martinez, who is from our Rental Assistance Division. Unfortunately, he's not able to be here today, but we did want to acknowledge his excellent customer service, both internally and externally. He's been said to have an undeniable commitment to this agency, continually looks for ways to find process improvements, and really is a role model for teamwork. So we do want to congratulate Victor as well. The next individual award of excellent honoree is Leilani Papa, who works in the loan servicing team in our real estate division. Leilani demonstrates superior levels of customer service. She has a positive attitude, and she produces excellent work. She has juggled multiple tasks almost single-handedly this year. Yet, even with this workload, she ensures timely and quality responsiveness, always keeping a positive attitude. And her work has been absolutely essential to the loan servicing team this past year. Congratulations, Leilani. Scott Steele with our Information Technology Department is our next individual award of excellent recipient. He was nominated for his daily commitment to excellence, as well as his work on a specific project with the Homeless Housing Innovations Division. In his nominations, he was said to demonstrate an unfailingly positive attitude, even when addressing challenges. He also took the initiative to do what was needed to make sure that this project was successful. He was said to be the epitome of calm, cool, and collected throughout the project. Congratulations, Scott. And our final individual award of excellent recipient, Juanita Fealvavo, embodies excellence and gives her all to her colleagues and her customers. We regularly receive emails and letters thanking her and the Achievement Academy for the work that they do. She has extensive experience in program creation and management and recently created the Achievement Academy's Power of One program. Juanita is always smiling and truly cares for her colleagues and for her customers. Congratulations, Juanita. And our team award recognizes the website redesign team. This team completed the first major update to the Housing Commission's website in close to 10 years, launching the new site last summer. The team includes representatives from multiple departments working together, Project Management Office, Information Technology, Procurement, and Communications. From start to finish, the website redesign team put the Housing Commission's customers first and worked collaboratively to make it easier for them to obtain the information they need. The result of their work also supported the Housing Commission's public outreach and transparency efforts, as well as creating a website that just looks very good. The members of the team are Emmanuel Velasco, Garford Alexander, Jose Lopez, Michelle Slingerland, Debbie Levinson-Cruz, Paul Morris, Josh Ransom, Ark Ekpalza, Anthony Griffin, Jeff Bartel, and Scott Marshall. And finally, we have our special CEO award, and this year our CEO selected Maribel Rodriguez from the real estate division, she is a property manager. Maribel is an influential leader with a clear vision who delivers compassionate and professional customer service. Over the years, she has developed expertise by working different caseloads throughout the Housing Commission's real estate portfolio. At a specific property this year, she immediately implemented a strategy to improve the property's performance. She instituted a collection plan that reduced delinquency by 75% within 90 days. Really an incredible achievement. She also collaborated with the San Diego Police Department and the nonprofit Save San Diego to expand community engagement programs such as the Crime-Free Multi-Housing Program and Neighborhood Watch. Always positive, professional, and diligent. Congratulations, Maribel. And congratulations to all of our honorees, and that concludes my comments.
Thank you. Congratulations, everyone. Congratulations to Azuzana, who managed to be in all of those photos. Sounds like you looked like you had a pretty busy couple of weeks. So thank you. Keep up the good work. next, we will approve the minutes. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes from the February 8th regular and special meeting? Thank you. Motion by Commissioner Walsh, second by Commissioner Hester. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next, we have the devil flu, is the consent agenda. Item 101, the procurement of property insurance coverage, is the only item on consent. Do we have a... Thank you. A second. Moved by Commissioner Tassin, second by Commissioner Davis. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next, we'll go back to item 100, our Moving to Work annual plan. Suket Dayal will be presenting on that. Commissioners, you'll remember that we had a workshop last month on this. So, Suket, take it away.
All right. Good morning, Chair Benvenuto, Commissioners, Mr. Davis, Mr. Christensen. I'm Suket Dayal, Senior Vice President of Business Administration, and this morning we are recommending your approval of the Housing Commission's Fiscal Year Moving to Work 2020 Annual Plan. As you mentioned at the last board meeting, we presented a workshop on Moving to Work and introduced our two initiatives, the Landlord Partnership Program and the Monarch School Project, which is a re-proposal. So the proposed Landlord Partnership Program aims to expand opportunities by providing incentives to landlords who rent to our families. As you're aware, low vacancy rates and high market rents in our city are additional challenges for low-income families. The program is inspired by the success of our Landlord Engagement and Assistance Program, or LEAP, part of our Homeless Action Plan, Housing First San Diego. We also engaged with the Landlord Advisory Committee for feedback on our incentives. Some of the components are listed on the slide. We're offering incentive payments of $500 awarded to all new leases. Landlords will have access to our Landlord Partnership Assurance Fund for damages caused by tenants beyond the normal wear or tear and or failure to pay rent above the security deposit. There's a move flexibility allowance, and this is to cover 5 days of overlap when a family is transitioning from one unit to another to avoid losses to our landlords. We're simplifying the inspection protocol, including inspections for vacant units, providing a 60-day inspection validation. And we have a landlord liaison team, which is dedicated to provide assistance to our landlords. Now, this ties in with our next bullet, the participant assistance. Our liaisons will be the bridge between the landlords and families, working with both parties to ensure a successful lease up. Teams will help families locate units, assist with forms, and work with landlords. This type of assistance for families and landlords has proved very successful in our LEAP program, and we hope to emulate the success. This initiative meets the Moving to Work objective of increasing housing choices for our families. Our next initiative is a reproposal, and that is the Monarch School Project, which is a local, non-traditional program in partnership with the Monarch School. And this was first approved in fiscal year 2016. The mission of the Monarch School is to educate students impacted by homelessness and help them develop hope for a future where necessary skills and experiences for personal success. As part of the pilot program, we wanted to provide a holistic solution to families. So we started with providing rental assistance to 25 families. We engaged, families were engaged with our Achievement Academy as they worked towards financial self-reliance. So they had the rental assistance, they had assistance for job placement services, and then Monarch worked with the kids. The program worked well for some, but we found some families required different interventions or additional services. With this reproposal, we would modify the program to ensure families have access to the appropriate intervention, including permanent supportive housing if needed. Now, our Achievement Academy will continue to work with all work-able households in the family. Our Housing Innovations team will continue to provide light case management. And participants will have access to LEAP, which is, again, the Landlord Engagement and Assistance Program, to ensure successful lease-ups. Families that are identified as needing permanent supportive housing will have access to the required services. Our goal, again, is to provide the most appropriate intervention at the right time as needed by the family. This concludes the presentation, and we're open for any questions you may have.
We have no speakers on this issue. Do we have any questions?
Madam Chair, appreciate the update. This is obviously a very innovative program and then recognized nationally for the innovation that this agency embarks upon in helping folks. Are we fully subscribed in those 25 families that you pointed out here through the Monarch School?
We have 22 at the current moment.
You have 22 at the current
moment. Correct.
And in terms of the work with the landlord population that you're dealing with, how is that going? I mean, it is a tight market on the rental market. Are we seeing the landlords step up and participate with the Housing Commission, given the incentives that we're providing?
So these incentives will kick in once the plan is approved, but we do have a mobility team that is working with a lot of our landlords right now. We have seen good success in that program. We've had 425 families, because of the assistance that we're providing, that have moved to an enterprise or a choice community.
But we did that. We did it also with the Housing Our Heroes program, did we not?
That is correct. With Housing Our Heroes, I do not have the exact number. I think it's 1,855 families that have been involved with the Landlord Engagement and Assistance Program.
Is the program with engaged the landlords similar in this one here that you're talking to? As we basically replicated what we took from Housing Our Heroes, did we not?
That is correct. The incentives may be a little different, but predominantly it's the same. There's a lot of similarities in both programs.
Thank you. Any other questions? Do we have a motion to approve the plan?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Tassin, second by Commissioner Davis. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Our next item. Item 102, the Housing Commission designation and identification of San Diego Housing Commission's agency representatives for labor negotiations. I believe Chuck Christensen is going to walk us through this item.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Item 102 is the identification of labor negotiators. Before any public agency begins negotiations with labor unions that are associated with that public agency, there's a requirement that there be a public hearing identifying those individuals that will be negotiators during the course of the negotiations. In this case, the president and CEO, the executive vice president, the vice president of human resources, and two representatives of the Office of General Counsel are being proposed. The the Housing Commission has had a very good relationship with the union, SEIU, and we're hopeful to wrap up a negotiation with them very quickly. This matter will be before the Housing Authority on next week, twice, first on March the 11th to also identify the negotiators at that point. And the next day at 9 in the morning, there'll be a closed session before the Housing Authority to obtain additional direction on negotiation. Because, and I don't know if there's any speaker slips on this, but if there are, they're welcome to come up after this this brief presentation. That concludes the presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. There are no speaker requests, unless I've missed something.
Madam Chair, I move approval.
Okay. Motion by Commissioner Taffin, second by Commissioner Plumpner. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item 103 is the Relocation Assistance Program for residents of Plaza Hotel. We've got Emily Jacobs and Lisa Jones presenting.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Commissioners Jeff, Chuck, and Rick, of course. I'm Emily Jacobs, Senior Vice President of Housing Finance and Portfolio Management, and with me today is Lisa Jones, who's Senior Vice President of Homeless Housing Initiatives. This morning, we're recommending the approval of a program to provide relocation assistance to the current tenants of a single-room occupancy property known as Plaza Hotel. Plaza Hotel is a 185-unit SRO located in downtown San Diego at 1037 4th Avenue. The property owners, 1037 4th Avenue LLC, plan to convert the property from its current residential use to a hostel hotel concept to offer lower-cost hotel lodging. The San Diego Municipal Code includes the city's SRO hotel regulations that apply to any development that proposes to demolish, convert, or rehab all or part of an SRO hotel to another use. The proposed change in use of the Plaza Hotel is subject to these regulations, which the Housing Commission administers. As stated in the Municipal Code, the purpose of the city's SRO hotel regulations is twofold: to ensure the retention of existing number of SRO hotel rooms and to provide assistance to tenants of SRO hotel rooms that will be displaced by the demolition, conversion, or rehab. The regulations are intended to benefit the general public by minimizing the adverse impact on displaced residents, particularly those that are very low income, elderly, or disabled. The SRO hotel regulations specify the relocation assistance that property owners are required to provide tenants, including payments towards relocation expenses, or tenants who have resided at the property for at least 90 days. Requirements to replace affected SRO housing units are also a part of the regulation. However, with respect to Plaza Hotel, they are exempt because they submitted a letter to the city before January 1, 2004, making them exempt from that portion of the regulation. A series of events occurred last month, which led to the proposed program we are proposing this morning. On February 1, 2019, the Plaza Hotel owner issued to residents a 60-day notice to terminate tenancy. The Housing Commission became aware of this when residents started contacting us requesting assistance. On the advice of Housing Commission General Counsel, the property owner rescinded that 60-day notice and began working with Commission staff to go through the appropriate process. The property owner has since filed an application on February 25th for the SRO demolition, conversion, or rehab of the property, and Housing Commission staff is reviewing that application. When staff completes this review, the Housing Commission will approve two new notices that the property owner will be required to reissue to tenants. First is a relocation assistance notice that informs the Plaza Hotel residents of their benefits to which they are entitled under the SRO hotel regulation. These benefits include payments to long-term tenants in an amount equal to 2 months' rent, plus a rent rebate up to $210. Under the SRO hotel regulation, short-term tenants may receive technical assistance from the Housing Commission in the way of locating other housing opportunities. The second notice the property owner will issue will be a new 60-day notice to terminate tenancy. Now Lisa will share the details of the proposed program.
Good morning. The relocation assistance required by the SRO hotel regulations is anticipated to be insufficient to meet the residents' needs to relocate to comparable housing. To better help Plaza Hotel residents identify and secure housing, the Housing Commission will leverage skilled staff from the agency's Homelessness Prevention Program and Landlord Engagement and Assistance Program, also known as LEAP. It is important to keep in mind that this new program differs from the Homelessness Prevention Program because Plaza Hotel residents are not at imminent risk of becoming homeless, but they will be receiving 60-day notices to vacate the Plaza Hotel. The level of support these residents need may not mirror the needs of a household at imminent risk of homelessness. The Housing Commission will tailor this program to most appropriately meet the needs of the Plaza Hotel residents. The homelessness prevention model operates under the principle of providing the minimum assistance necessary to prevent a household from becoming homeless. The same principle will apply to the relocation assistance program for Plaza Hotel residents. The program will conduct comprehensive assessments to determine the needs of each household to provide the minimum amount of financial assistance necessary from the Housing Commission to help them relocate to another unit. Limited financial assistance will be provided to up to 185 existing Plaza Hotel residents who receive the 60-day notice to vacate. This financial assistance will help fill the gap between the relocation assistance the property owner will pay, as required by the city's SRO hotel regulations, the residents' own resources, and the cost to secure comparable housing. Plaza Hotel residents will also receive housing location services through LEAP. To implement this relocation assistance program for Plaza Hotel residents, staff is recommending that the board take the following actions. Authorize an amendment to the Housing Commission's fiscal year 2019 budget to allocate an amount not to exceed $500,000 to fund the tenant relocation assistance program for current residents of the Plaza Hotel. Authorize the Housing Commission's president and CEO, or designee, to execute all documents necessary to implement these approvals in a form approved by General Counsel. And authorize the president and CEO or designee to substitute funding sources for the proposed program if necessary without further action of the board, only if funds are available for such purposes. This concludes our presentation. We're happy to answer any questions.
Commissioners, questions, feedback? Thank you.
Thank you. Housing relocation assistance isn't new to us, is it? This is a common practice for us, isn't it?
So under LEAP, through our homelessness and through our homelessness prevention programs, we have a lot of skilled staff that do this kind of work, whether it's not specific to relocating something of a disposition like that, but where people are either at imminent risk of homelessness or homeless, where we're helping them identify other resources for housing, so looking for units, as well as giving them financial assistance.
But helping tenants that are forced out of housing like this is a common practice, if I remember correctly, that we do often, Council?
Can be applicable. And with regard to that, we do help and assist homeless tenants of existing projects to transition out of the units and or come back after rehabilitation. In addition, when we fund loans to individuals for the purposes of developing new housing and or rehabilitating it, that we require that relocation be provided, again, both in accordance with the provisions of state law and federal law as applicable. So, and the health and safety code, which deals with the rights and powers of housing authorities, provides the right of a housing commission and authority to provide additional relocation assistance beyond that which might otherwise be provided.
Thank you. So this isn't new to us. This is something that we employ all the time. Help me to understand why we're asking to allocate monies to this. I may have missed that part in the staff report.
I would just like to say, in full disclosure, there is no requirement to provide assistance to these families, and that is new. We did provide some assistance to Rancho or Penasquitos Village residents, but this is the first time that where no requirement is there, we are going to do it anyway. The reason for that is that these 180 families or so will have 60 days to try to relocate to another unit with not nearly enough from the property owner to do that. And so we have a housing crisis, a homelessness crisis. It seemed like the thing to do.
Thank you. So, tell me, last question is on that 2004 exemption for this property owner. Can you explain that?
Yeah, it's I'll do the Reader's Digest version. It's very complicated. There's an act called the Ellis Act under Government Code Section 7060 that basically provides that a public agency may not prohibit a landlord from, or owner from going out of business. And there was much litigation involved in that. The Ellis Act always allowed relocation benefits for tenants in a property where there was a termination of a project. There was, in 2003, there was a legislation that came through the Assembly and the State Senate that allowed for three jurisdictions, the City of San Diego, L.A., and San Francisco, to deal with relocation, replacement housing as well. And with regard to that, the law provided that if a notice was given before January 1, 2004 to the public agency, that there would be no requirement to replace those units. So before that date, many landlords within the City of San Diego submitted those notices. This project was one of those. And for that reason, the relocation, replacement housing requirements do not apply, but the relocation requirements do apply. I might indicate that Emily's group, in conjunction and including Wendy DeWitt, are currently working on additional improvements of the SRO ordinance, and those are going to be coming forward very soon, which will, in all likelihood, deal with additional relocation benefits for all of those projects.
Thank you. I'm sorry, just one last one. So the Housing Commission is stepping up to the plate when it doesn't have to do so. Is the owner here participating in any of this expense as well?
Yes. So under the terms of the current SRO ordinance, the owner has the duty to provide for long-term tenants. Long-term tenant is that tenant that's been in the property for more than 90 days. The owner is required to pay 2 months rent plus up to $210. So in this case, I think the rents are around $1,000. So up to about $2,200, which is that's all that's required and isn't sufficient, obviously, to help the tenants relocate.
Commissioner Hester, go for it.
I apologize. You were differentiating the difference between families who are going to be homeless right after this eviction as opposed to not, or there was some distinction. Can you explain that again.
Right. So right now we're really seeing this as a relocation program because they are in housing right now. A 60-day notice would not qualify under what's considered imminent risk of homelessness. Imminent risk usually is within 14 days of being out of that housing unit. And so our traditional eligibility criteria for our prevention or diversion program, they would not currently qualify. Although over time, if no intervention occurred, they could certainly end up qualifying for that program.
Anything further, Mr. Hester? We've got a few more speakers. Go ahead, Commissioner.
Yeah, just a quick question. I might have misunderstood. So the people will be receiving the payments from both the owner and then from the San Diego Housing Commission, which will allow them to be able to move their property and make the actual move itself, plus pay the first and last month rent. Is that the reason for all that?
So that's the general idea. It's going to be different for each family. So we'll do an income assessment, look at their available capital that they have, look at the funding that came through from the owner, and determine what that gap is that we can help fill to make sure that they successfully get into a new unit.
Thank you.
Can you remind me what the average rent is that these folks are paying currently, or do we know that?
It's just shy of $1,000.
Just shy of $1,000. Okay. So, I mean, it seems like part of the concern here is that there are not a lot of housing options in San Diego for under $1,000 that they are able to. Would that be? Is that sort of the root cause here?
That would be accurate.
Okay. So I mean, thank you very much to the staff for both picking up on this very quickly, moving very swiftly to come up with a plan. I know that there was some intervention that had to happen here with the owners, and I think that diligence really averted something that could have been very bad in terms of how this could have played out if we had not been watching. So it's an unfortunate situation, and I think that the fact that you all caught it and moved so quickly is the best that we could have done. I have sort of a few global concerns here, one of which is I've actually gotten a tour of a couple SROs in San Diego. And what concerns me in the broader policy discussion here about the preservation issue, and I would encourage anyone, I don't know if there's a way that we can necessarily do that. These are privately owned, but I mean, there's real health and safety concerns in a lot of these buildings, from what I've seen. And, I want to be careful in the way that we talk about this, that is not a goal, just the preservation. On the flip side of that, I mean, this is a real problem when there is nowhere else for people to go to when these turn over. And so allowing them to simply disappear, even if it's via, we find a way to divert away from homelessness, that also doesn't seem like a good solution here because it's exacerbating this other problem that we're dealing with. I was talking to Jeff. I mean, it seems like Hotel Sanford was a potential sort of model that has worked well. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but in that case, this was before my time, but in that case, that was also an SRO, correct? And the existing residents were allowed to continue to reside there, and it has undergone a significant renovation, right? I mean, that's really the kind of optimal scenario here, but I've got to imagine that would be extremely costly if we were prepared to do that for every SRO that was going to turn over. And so I don't have a perfect answer here because it seems like the limitation to that perfect solution is just the cost. We have a lot of priorities to deal with, right? I mean, we're approving permanent supportive housing. I mean, a whole array of programs here, all of which are helping somebody. But I think what this example is really kind of showing us is that there is a significant and real cost when we lose this inventory. $500,000 is not insignificant.
That's a public cost that's being borne because of a private development that's occurring. That's not taking into account anybody that does end up homeless as a result of that. In addition to the human tragedy of that, we know that we spend an enormous amount on serving and trying to assist those people. And so, you know, there's a real cost to people becoming homeless, public cost. So with that in mind, you know, I hope that, you know, we and the staff and the housing authority take a very hard look at the larger question of how we're going to deal with SROs, because as I said, you know, there's a problem with each direction you turn. Okay, we just want to preserve them and make sure that nothing happens to them. Well, we're preserving something that is a real problem. Okay, we're going to let them turn over. Well, there's an enormous public cost that's going to be borne when those turn over. We're going to aggressively, to try to do what we did with Hotel Sanford. Well, that's also very expensive. So there's not a perfect answer here, but you know, I hope that we do kind of dwell on the fact that maybe it is worth putting more priority on trying to replicate what was done with Hotel Sanford because of the fact that there are all of these downstream costs. And with that in mind, I did have a question, which is, this is not a good situation, but it also seems like there's an opportunity to try to learn from what happens here with respect to the residents and where they end up. And so my request would be that we explore some way to track what happens with these residents, the ones that we have some sort of intervention and assistance with, what the outcomes of that are, and anyone who doesn't avail themselves. But, I mean, to the best of our ability, you know, I think that it's a little bit of a mystery as to what exactly happens when an SRO closes, where all those residents go. I mean, I've heard on the one hand, people will say things like that they become homeless. That is where our homeless population is coming from. If that's the case, then that should really factor very significantly into those public costs I mentioned that we're looking at. On the other hand, I don't know that we really have any hard evidence that happens or to what degree that happens. So it's not a perfect scenario because we are going to be making a major effort, in terms of we won't necessarily learn what happens if we don't do these interventions. But it seems like it's better than what we have now, which is just sort of guessing as to what happens to residents of SROs when they close. So I know that was a lot. You're welcome to respond to any of that if you like or not. Yeah.
I'll just respond to the last piece,
sure.
which I agree. Sometimes difficult situations also create opportunity. And this is an opportunity to take a look at what this intervention has, what impact this intervention has on that population. And frankly, I mean, if we're all being honest with each other, there may be some that, despite our best efforts, end up in our homeless crisis response system. So certainly we want to provide service to everybody. We don't want to test and see what happens when we don't.
Of course.
But I do expect that there's a possibility that some, despite our efforts, will fall into that system. So we could certainly create some kind of study, and we can look into what that would be and what the cost implications of that might be that would help us kind of track that information. And if they do end up in our homeless crisis response system, then we also have a much more robust system regionally to better extract data from there too.
A couple additional questions. Have we done an intervention like this in a scenario like this before, or is this kind of above and beyond what has been done before?
Not that I'm aware of, and it's important to note that this is one of the largest remaining SROs on the exempt list, and you know, obviously something we can't turn away from.
I guess we're looking for silver linings. That's nice to know that there's not more larger ones out there. Anything that we do learn from this, I mean, we'll all just understand that this is essentially the best case scenario in terms of, you know, maximum interventions, diversions from homelessness that has been attempted so far. So I think that that's fair, and that would still be, valuable information to kind of see what happens with that. The last thing I'd like to say is, you know, I've heard a lot of policy proposals floating around, both in relation to the housing authority in terms of, you know, changes to how these properties are treated. And I think that that's all on the right track. I mean, frankly, it seems like maybe you know, that could have been done a couple of years ago, and we might have a few more tools to work with. But you know, this is a good reminder, and I hope that the housing authority moves quickly to try to mitigate or prevent these situations from happening.
I wanted to understand the population a little bit. There's a 185 unit, and they're single occupancy properties. So my general assumption is that there's one person that lives there, but we reference families. Can you? So just speak on the population.
I think if we reference families, that was not unintentional. So we tend to refer to households. So a single person can be a household, or a family can be a household. But as far as the general demographics of this population, we really don't have a lot of that information yet. That's part of what we will be gathering as we go through those intensive intake assessments. So household income, any potential barriers to housing, any disabilities, other things of that nature, any resources that they have, that's really what we need to look at in a holistic way to determine what intervention we tailor to that particular individual.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Any further commissioner comments?
Madam Chair, I'll just move staff's recommendation.
Okay, thank you. I just want to say briefly, that I echo a lot of Commissioner Klumper's comments, thanking staff for how agile they were in responding to this. Because the question isn't really, you know, what do we do within our current situation with the existing policies? It's what can we add? What can we proactively provide this population to make sure that whatever transition is before them is as successful as possible? And I think that there's a lot of value in taking this case and this situation and taking the 185 households, which is a significant size, and using this to learn more about how folks navigate the system when they're facing displacement, which is a very serious issue and a serious conversation that we have to continue to have in the housing space. One of the things that struck me about what you said, Emily, was the list of SROs that are exempt. So we do have some information about who possibly we might want to speak to about whatever the next policies are. So I would be very interested in getting that list. I don't know who to ask, but I will begin that process. If you have any help, that would be wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate that. That was easy. and then finally, if we were to track folks or implement a study in addition to whatever we're doing, that would have to happen very quickly in that they have 60 days now. So they're already moving through their relocation process. If we were to put something in place, it would need to start moving tomorrow. So I just want to keep that in mind when we're talking about whatever this motion is. Commissioner Tess, I understand we do have your motion on the floor right now. Those were my comments. And now we are looking for a second, or perhaps further discussion on motion. Okay, so we have a second. Any further discussion there?
Would we need to amend the motion at all if we were to do a study, or is there a way for staff to do that with an existing?
Existing recommendation, and then separately, give direction to staff to do what you've just indicated.
Okay.
Okay, so we have a motion to move this item and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. And as an aside, I think it's fair to say that the commissioners all agree that it would be appropriate to ask staff to pursue some sort of a study. Do you want to add any sort of framework on that?
I mean, you guys have done a fantastic job spotting this, identifying the challenges, et cetera. I trust that you understand what we're looking for here.
So what we would do, actually, is we would use a consultant to help us develop that. So I know there's lots of different types of longitudinal studies that are developed around specific populations. So we'd bring in an industry consultant to help us develop exactly what the parameters would look like to make sure that we're capturing the data we want to capture to paint the picture we're trying to understand. Is that fair to say, Jeff?
Yes, that's correct. We are going to be diverting some of our HIT staff, our Homeless Housing Innovations Team staff, in order to address the Plaza residents. And so internally, we would not be able to undertake this study, but we do have consultants that we can reach out to.
Well, and if we're diverting staff and resources, best to understand really what this process looks like so we're not consistently just playing whack-a-mole with displaced populations. So are you comfortable with this? Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. We'll continue to watch this item then. Thank you. Okay. We didn't have any public speakers on that. Item 104 is the interim site for the City of San Diego Adult Women and Families Temporary Bridge Shelter and the corresponding MOU, which, commissioners, you all have, between the commission and the City of San Diego. We do have one speaker on this, but first we'll have a presentation from Lisa Jones and Jonathan Herrera. Okay.
Before you begin, I wanted to point out that there has been an amendment to the Third Amendment of the Memorandum of Understanding between the City of San Diego and the Housing Commission that has been recently negotiated and recently approved. It is redlined and before you as one of the documents, and this has taken a fair amount of work to get here. We're dealing with the city attorney's office, but as of time flies, as of either yesterday or the day before this was finalized. So when you make your motion, we'd ask that you consider the red line version of the changed MOU.
Good morning again, Chair Benvenuto and commissioners. I'm Lisa Jones, Senior Vice President of Homeless Housing Innovations. With me today is Jonathan Herrera, our Senior Project and Policy Advisor of Homeless Housing Innovations. Today's presentation provides a high-level overview of the planned relocation of the City of San Diego Temporary Bridge Shelter, operated by Father Joe's Villages, and requests your recommendation for authorization to continue shelter operations at the interim location identified by the City of San Diego. Press the wrong button. All right. In November 2017, the Housing Commission Board, Housing Authority, and City Council authorized a Memorandum of Understanding between the City and the Housing Commission for the oversight and administration of the City's temporary bridge shelters. In addition, agreements for the operations of the three shelters were authorized for initial period of December 1, 2017 through June 30, 2018. The shelters opened at three sites within the city with the goals of addressing homelessness and combating the regional hepatitis A outbreak at that time. In May of last year, the MOU was extended for a one-year term, July 1, 2018 through June 30, 2019, and on September 18, 2018, the Housing Authority approved renewal of the operating agreements from October 1, 2018 through June 30, 2019. Contract renewals for each operating agreement are scheduled to come to the board for consideration in May of this year. The temporary bridge shelters utilize a housing-first approach to provide a safe, centralized location for more than 650 men, women, and children experiencing homelessness in the City of San Diego, and to provide these individuals with supportive services and assistance in obtaining permanent housing. The bridge shelter operated by Father Joe's Villages serves single women and families with children. From the opening of the shelter in January 2018 through the end of January 2019, 197 persons successfully exited to permanent or longer-term housing, representing 100 households, of which 55 were single women households and 45 were families. At the end of February this year, 40 single women and 28 families were residing in the shelter, which equates to 122 total persons. Of these, 76 were adults and 46 were children. Jonathan will now review the site location and requested actions.
Thank you, Lisa. Due to the planned development of permanent affordable housing where this bridge shelter is currently sited, the shelter must be relocated. For an interim period, the bridge shelter residents will be temporarily relocated to the San Diego Concourse, including portions of Golden Hall, located at 202 C Street, with operations anticipated to begin on or about April 1st, 2019, and continuing through the end of June. Father Joe's Villages will continue to operate the program with existing funds. There is no anticipated fiscal impact, and staff is not requesting an increase in contract funding. The current operating term expenditures are projected to come in approximately $340,000 under budget at the end of the operating term, and the unspent balance may be utilized to cover costs related to the relocation and or increased service-related expenses due to the transition. Relocation of the operating equipment and program participants will be arranged by the city with support of project partners. Planning is currently underway to ensure that all major facilities and site improvements are in place prior to the move, including restrooms, wash stations, laundry facilities, and showers. All of the program materials, furnishing, and equipment will be moved on a single day, including beds, bedding, and residents' personal belongings. The day of the move, residents will be hosted at the Father Joe's campus and relocated to Golden Hall at the end of the day once site setup has been completed. Meals will be catered by Father Joe's and delivered to the site daily. Transportation will be provided for program participants to continue accessing services and resources located at the Father Joe's campus during the interim period. This slide outlines the city's responsibilities regarding the relocation of the bridge shelter to the intern location at Golden Hall. These duties include securing all necessary permits to allow the operation of the bridge shelter program on site and providing the associated documentation, entering into an agreement with Father Joe's for the use of the temporary site, providing moving services to relocate all beds and client personal property items from the current site to the temporary site, providing transportation for all clients from the current site to the temporary site, providing for the takedown of beds from the current site, relocation and construction of beds at the temporary site, and finally providing additional maintenance and security of the temporary site that is not included in the operator agreement. Today we are requesting that the Board of Commissioners recommend that the Housing Authority authorize the execution of the First Amendment to the second option to renew the agreement with Father Joe's Villages for the temporary relocation of the City of San Diego's temporary bridge shelter for adult single women and families to San Diego Concourse, including portions of Golden Hall located at 202 C Street, and for the Housing Commission's President and CEO or designee to execute all necessary documents and instruments in order to implement these approvals in a form approved by General Counsel. In addition, we are requesting that the Board recommend that both the Housing Authority and the City Council approve the execution of amendments to the MOU between the City and the Housing Commission for the oversight and administration of the bridge shelters. That concludes our presentation. We're available to answer any questions. We also have representatives from the Mayor's Office and Father Joe's in attendance to answer any questions as well.
Thank you. I'd like to invite Keely Halsey from the Mayor's Office up to provide some comments too. Welcome, Keely.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair and Commissioners. I'd like to request the Commission's support for this item today. The minor changes to the MOU and the operating agreement will have a big impact on the lives of the individuals that will continue to be served by the team from Father Joe's, currently serving them at this site in the new facility right adjacent to City Hall. We are fortunate, you know, we're grateful to have been guests of Father Joe's, but we're also very much looking forward to the 407-unit affordable housing project that they're looking to bring online. So we're happy to be kicked out for a good cause. And we were fortunate to be able to find a site for the new location right adjacent to the campus on 17th and Imperial, and we worked with a private owner of that site to secure a longer term lease so that we can eventually move those individuals over. But of course, the construction has to occur. So for the 3 to 4 months during construction, the city's happy to host these individuals at City Hall at Civic Center. and we're working with a team of city officials to, with Housing Commission and with the operator on site plans and any operational changes or questions so that they can continue to provide the level of service that these individuals need. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner, comments, questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. That was my question. I hadn't heard. I didn't know what was going to happen that was going to allow us to move back after June 30th, and she answered the question. So we found a new site, and we're going to be equipping a new location, and we'll move them back from there. So I'm good.
Commissioner Klumner?
I think this is a great location for this purpose, and Father Arthur and I had a significant disagreement last week on the item that was before us then, and I appreciate him coming back today, and I do actually share some of his concerns in terms of where these things are being located and at what levels. It's not to say that the storage issue is a separate thing and our disagreement stands there, but I think Golden Hall is a good place for this temporary location, and I hope that we're able to provide some level of standard for these families during this time. And I think the Golden Hall is a good place, and I think it's kind of unfortunate that it's got to be temporary.
Any other commissioner comments?
So just for clarity on the record, the vote we're taking today is on the amendment on the use of Golden Hall for a temporary location, correct?
Yes, and also to the amendment of the MOU, which Ms. Halsey spoke about and which was discussed by staff.
I think Golden Hall is a great location for this temporary, or maybe not, but for this purpose, I am glad that we have found a solid structure where these families can go. I remain concerned about the children moving so often. I recognize that this is an improvement from being homeless. I still have, I am confident that staff is thinking about this, but the relocation of children in this capacity is, just makes me a little nervous, and I hope that we're really thinking about the state of the emotional and mental well-being of these kids as they're kind of moving their homes. They probably have gotten used to the site currently, so we just want to think about their level of comfort as they move to Golden Hall, which is a good location for this. Yeah, still temporary. So as we get them closer to their permanent home, just keeping them as safe and stable as possible. So any other commissioner comments? No? Do we have a motion to approve? Commissioner Davis, seconded by Commissioner Klumpner. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. That brings us to the end of our agenda. Thank you, everyone. We are adjourned. Do we need a motion to adjourn? Oh, okay. What do I do for that?
The San Diego Housing Commission will convene in closed session to discuss its closed session agenda, which is item Roman numeral 4A, which is negotiations with labor negotiations. That will be the only matter discussed in closed session.